B-Pod Studios.
This is Toucher and Rich.
Sounds like the biggest nightmare, and why anyone would choose it, I don't know.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we are Toucher and Rich. And as John Wallach continued to poo-poo, saying there's no way, saying he knows so much and everyone else knows so little, it looks like Patrice Bergeron is coming back to the Bruins. John, how does that make you feel?
Makes me feel wrong, is what it makes me feel like.
You were so sure of yourself.
I was.
And yet here you are wrong.
Yep, that's correct.
As if you knew the man. You spoke as if you sat in his shoes, yet here you are wrong.
I have egg on my face this morning, Fred.
I'll tell you.
No two ways about it. But I couldn't, my reasoning was I couldn't understand why he'd come back and do it. And a theory I heard over the weekend is mind-boggling to me as to why he would come back.
Why?
And, well, Kirk Ludicky, who wrote for the New England Hockey Journal, covered the Bruins for years and years and years, and now he's the assistant GM for a junior hockey team out in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh,
his idea was that the reason Bergeron came back was because he values his teammates so much and values the organization so much that he is going to give the Bruins a year to figure out the direction of this franchise. He's going to make this team respectable for a year while Sweeney and Neely sort out this mess, and then hopefully in 1 year he will have given management enough time to chart a proper direction. That's why he is coming back.
You know why he says that?
Why is that?
Is because the reality is much less exciting and sounds dumb. But the reality is he wanted to play hockey for one more year.
Yeah, and the reality is probably because Marchand was like, dude, let's do it one more time. You know, we're going to have a different voice in the locker room. Maybe they weren't fans of Bruce Cassidy.
I think it comes down to as simple as he wasn't ready to stop playing hockey.
Maybe.
He wanted one more year.
Yeah.
And that's, and it's not as exciting, and it's not, you know, a hero-y thing to do, and like it is coming in to save the day. They give it, and first of all, John, you know as well as I do, giving them another year to figure things out doesn't make any sense.
Correct.
If anything, it just,
this is a 5-year turnaround. This isn't right. Like something they're going to figure, oh, you know, thank God Patrice is here for one more season. Yeah, now we're good.
Yeah, how that changes anything does in reality, it really doesn't.
Still don't have any prospects in the system. They're still capped out. I mean, how does this change things?
Yeah, maybe you win a game more in the playoffs instead of, like, you know, getting swept. Maybe you win one game. It's a gentleman's sweep. But I think the reality is far more boring than anyone, because it must, if you're a reporter and stuff, especially if you're, like, you know, assistant general manager at the Hoosie Watt McGee company, you know, you can't just come out and say, like, you know, Bergeron came back because he wanted to play another year of hockey. Because then people are no one's going to run with it. Mm-hmm. You got to come up with some, like, deep psychological reason or deep strategic reason when it really is as simple as just he wanted to play.
Hey, let me ask you this. Do you think you would have come back if Bruce Cassidy was still the coach?
Yeah.
I think so, too. I think he would have been back as well. Now, am I...
So what was all the hugging at the end of the season?
I think that he didn't know.
I think once that final game is played, there's probably that finality that you're sitting there and potentially facing for the first time. And I believed what he was saying the entire season, is, you know, which is pretty much nothing. But him saying nothing, I guess, is basically him going, I don't know. And I don't want to commit to anything until I'm actually there and looking it right in the face. And I think it's just a scary place to be. If all you've done, and if you love hockey and you're good at it, and all of a sudden that's gone and you think that you've got a little bit left, then I think that's the thing that kind of pushed him to say, you know what, why not? Let's go one more year. Let's give it a try. And I think he also believes that this team may have a chance. I don't think that he thinks this is a failed project.
I don't think he's under any misconception that they're going to win the Cup.
No, but I think he thinks they're going to be respectable. Yeah. They got a shot.
I mean, a shot in that when you make the playoffs, you have a shot, sure.
You know, Dan was just saying in my headset, it's kind of an interesting way to look at it, and he might be right, is that this week we're probably going to hear Coach, Bergeron, Krejci, in that order. Because right now, it sounds like Quinn's the guy. Because if you...
Well, if they get Krejci, I take back everything I said.
But then why not sign Zdeno Chara again? I mean, he's thinking
well,
about
Johnny,
buying him.
Well, Johnny's out there.
Bring
he's
it back.
There.
Run it back. Run it back 2011 style. Run it all back.
I mean, can you see if somewhere a Ryder is available?
Sure.
I mean, bring them all back. For a very exciting team.
Xanadude would love that. Bring Ryder
just
back.
Like, it's just like the team that hasn't won a cup in 11 years, except 11 years older.
Hey, what's Tomas Cabrera doing right now?
Where is Thomas the Tank Engine?
He's counting his money. He's somewhere.
Man, he did make a ton
he's
of money.
Somewhere hey, on
Lucha, you know, Lucha's still playing. You can get him cheap, too.
Yeah, you bring him in for really, I mean... Nothing more than just a big body. You can do anything you want. If I'm not mistaken, Luch, not much in terms of putting up the numbers.
No, he's jumped the shark. Yes,
but if they announce okay, if they bring back Krejci, whatever, right? Okay, it's there. It's neither here nor there for me. But if they act like guys, check it out. Just when you thought that your favorite team was dead in the water.
Yeah,
in comes Krejci. And anyone who's like, you know, well, F them. Anyone who's like, well, then the team can do no wrong in your opinion. Listen, if they bring Krejci and they're like, look, we're going to suck. He's better than, we suck so bad at building a team that he was our only option to bring back and play second line center.
Hang on, we have a caller on the phone who's got an idea for who they should bring back.
I have a little twist to this series. Why don't we insert Shane Knighty into it, the sheriff?
A little too old, because that, I believe, was about a 2009 phone call. So if you gave him 2 years... Mm-hmm. There you go.
He's also having a good time with Dave Gosher right now. He's his right-hand man.
I mean, listen, it's all about the Vegas lights, baby. But I'll tell you, it's going to be something if they're like, ladies and gentlemen, after 1 year gone and no improvement in the playoffs, with or without him, David Krejci. Ew.
Yeah, and you know what? I got a weird feeling they're going to give him too much money, too.
Well, they can't. I mean, they're as I mentioned before, they're capped out. They don't have a lot of salary
cap
room.
Find ways,
you have
man.
To re-sign. Well, the NHL salary cap's a little different.
Yeah, it's a little harder than hockey.
Much more of a hard cap. You can't go over that unless you put a guy on long-term injured reserve.
But that being said, Rich, I think anything is really too much money. So, yes.
Sure. That's a good point.
I mean, I think that anything. Apparently, this Bergeron deal would be incentive-laden. And I don't think he's going to get $7 million.
No,
I think
and I don't see him asking for that either.
I think he knows what he can get. And I'm very happy Bergeron's coming back. Don't get me wrong, because one is a Boston icon, and one was a good player.
Well,
there's a complete difference.
Well, Fred, I said this on Friday: is that if you're going to be a mediocre team, well, if you're going to be a mediocre team no matter what. I'd rather have a mediocre team with Patrice Bergeron on it.
Yes,
fair enough.
So it's you're not going to do anything great. You're going to be not doing anything great, but you get to say goodbye to, as you said,
a Hall of Famer, one of the best players in the history in the organization, the best defensive forward in the history of the National Hockey League.
Having him back isn't going to hinder any moves or progress this team needs to be making.
Retire his number the day after the season ends.
I got no problem. The Krejci thing is just weird.
Yeah, I just don't understand it. But people, when they judge all-time Bruins, they obviously go number one. But then I hear Esposito, Busick,
Cam.
I've heard Cam Neely ahead of him, which can't be. I mean, Cam Neely didn't play very long.
So you got to think Bergeron's probably ahead of Cam.
Not ahead of Bork.
No, not ahead of Bork. Bork's still ahead of his, Bergeron.
Bork never won a Cup.
Not here. Nope. That's true.
And you know what? Dan makes a good point. They didn't draft Cam. Like, Bergeron is like a homegrown. I mean, he's the guy. So
I don't even know they didn't draft Cam. Oh, my hockey knowledge is a joke to you.
Your sports knowledge is a joke to me. Yep. It's DA all of a sudden.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know they didn't draft Cam. It shows what I know. Not much. I guess Busick is still around. Like, Busick has been to the...
Yes.
Busick has been to more Bruins games than... he's been to 15,000 Bruins games. So, I don't know. I can't speak to Busick, but I know... Or, I don't... Would you put Esposito in front of him? And Esposito left when... In his prime. left the Bruins or close to the prime.
Well,
because then he did the Sassoon commercial for the Giant Rangers.
Well, Fred, one thing that you can say is that the beginning of the season is going to be a disaster no matter what. Even with Bergeron back, it's basically I don't even know how much you're going to play Bergeron without any of his buddies there. You're going to have McAvoy's going to be out for a little bit. Obviously, Marchand's going to be out for a while. You know, it's going to be a pretty bad start. And you know how I don't know. It's going to be a weird season. Nobody's expecting a lot, so I guess that's the bonus, is that if you don't expect a lot, you're not disappointed by a lot.
Yeah, that's the way I like to live life. It's you know, never get your hopes up too high, and you know, just do it that way. All right, we will be back in just a moment. Just to revel in John's his arrogance, and then when he's wrong, his inability to admit it. All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
An invitation to this show means nothing.
Here are Toucher and Rich.
We just do. We go for the jugular.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I thought this was you got nothing coming for a second.
Nope, it's just Talica.
It's funny, my wife took my daughter to a hotel for her birthday. Girl stuff, her and a couple other girls, another mom, to a hotel. So my son had a friend sleep over last night, and the friend is deathly afraid of our cat, which is very funny to me because the cat is just this big fat cat that just like goes like blah. And just like lays on its back and then it can't get up because it's too fat. But the kid's not allergic to the cat. He's just afraid of the cat.
Oh, jeez.
So I guess last night my son had a video. I'd already gone to bed. And the cat like almost like could sense that the kid was afraid of it. So the cat was behind the couch and kept like running halfway up the couch and then just swatting him in the head. The cat, ah!
There was one time, Fred, where, because I am allergic to cats, and there was one time where I went to go spend the night at a friend of mine's house, and when I walked in, I was hacking it up so bad that the solution of the family was for me to go spend the night in the dad's car.
Yep, it seems completely reasonable.
So that night, I spent the night in the driveway, in the car by myself.
Now, okay, so, but did the other kids, like, play outside until it was time for bed?
No.
Did you have any inclination to call your parents and tell them to pick you up?
No, I handled it like, you know, for the first like hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I just hacked and tried to like handle it because we were playing video games and stuff. And then finally, I was just like, I can't be inside. And the dad's idea was that you can go sleep in the car. So we went to bed probably about 2 hours before we were supposed to. Now, I don't know whether the rest of the kids stayed up and, you know, did cool stuff while I was in the sob in the driveway.
Oh, at least it's a nice, comfortable Swedish ride.
It was awesome. Yeah, I got to just sleep in that sucker. No keys to keep the air going or anything like that. Just you're in the hot box of a sob. Enjoy it. And I remember waking up as soon as the sun rose because you really can't block it out, which was, I think, around like 6:15, which is maybe about 2 hours before my friends woke up. So I kind of just had to linger outside and then sit in the sob until they woke up.
Yeah. So I've told you the story about the dad who pulled the gun on me because I walked into their bedroom while my friend had turned off all the lights in his house during a sleepover. Well, the last thing I ever did with that family was a twofold affair. And it's the last time I'll ever go camping. Is they had rented some like trailer and they took us to this place and it was for two nights, Friday and Saturday night. Well, the first night, Friday, I'm like dying of thirst, and I'm like, just can I have like water? And I don't want the dad to get mad at me again. So like they're like, there's a bathroom outside, so I had to walk around with a canteen, like in search for like some bathroom at like, you know, HOA place,
KOA, KOA
place, like some nasty bathroom to finally get water when it's pitch black. So I wonder why, but the next morning I wake up with red welts all over myself because obviously I've fallen into a kind of panic the night before that no one would, that defies science. And so, you know, I'm covered from head to toe in red welts. And it's never happened to me since. It had never happened to me before then.
You think in the night you were like possibly walking into piles of like poison oak or something like that?
It was not diagnosed as that. The doctors couldn't figure out what it was.
Okay.
I think that I was just so freaked out because this guy had pulled a gun on me before and now there's no water. And so like I show up and they're like, I wake up and I'm like, hey, I'm covered in all this stuff. And then rather going like, you know what, maybe let's take you to a doctor or home. They're like, well, you can't get in the pool here. And so I'm like, oh, great. So now I can sit around worried all day with no distractions.
Jesus. So hang on. So when they pulled it, when the guy pulled a gun on you, first of all, what an idiot. He obviously knows people are spending the night, right? Like he saw you spending the night. This wasn't a surprise, spend the night thing, was it?
I think he enjoyed a few cocktails before
he went
to bed most evenings.
What a nightmare. So what was the scenario in which you somehow ended up in his presence with a gun drawn on you?
I told you that, so the kid, he shut off all the lights in his house.
Yep.
Like, we were sleeping downstairs, but we were up in his room. And so he shut off all the lights, and I don't know, I'm like an idiot, and like, I got like completely discombobulated where I was, and I just opened up a door, and like the dad like had thrown on a light and like had a shotgun.
Oh
like,
my God.
It wasn't pointing at me, but he had like a shotgun like in his hands. God. Like what the F are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. Matt turned off all the lights.
So he had no, I mean, what? All right. Well, did you tell your parents about that?
I don't remember. They know now, but I don't remember if I told them. All I remember about that night is that my friend had he's the DJ, I'm the rapper.
Fresh Prince.
Okay.
Yes.
That was playing on tape recorder throughout the evening.
I wonder if that was one of those things, Fred, where you might not have told your parents because you knew that if you did, you'd never be able to spend the night at your friend's house again.
Yeah, probably.
Which is probably like the best thing ever that you couldn't spend the night at his house again.
I just remember that one night his sister came home like so loaded. Whatever, right? She was in high school, and she took, like, 15 Tylenol. And it's like, well, that's a good mixture. Really destroy your liver with alcohol, and then take that acetamine or whatever the hell it is that destroys your liver even more.
Oh, jeez.
She's like, how does it take some Tylenol? And she, like, poured a handful of Tylenol and took it.
Well, that might be a perfect...
It was a whole show.
That might be a perfect opportunity to transfer topics into this. Fred, I'm sorry, and if you ever think this gets old, then I'm going to have to apologize because I'm going to continue as long as I keep getting moments like this sent to me. Motley Crue still on tour right now. Vince Neil and the rest of his band this past weekend played in Miami. They were at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Now, I told you, I saw some of the video from when they played in Atlanta. They're going to be coming to New England in about a month. I think the end of or beginning of September, they're going to be, I'm sorry, August rather, they're going to be at Fenway Park doing two shows at Fenway Park.
I misplanned. I am going to be out of town for both of them.
Oh, that is a shame because what you are going to see is going to be something special. And I said it before, everyone in the whole Motley Crue community is doing everything they can to A, put on a great show, and B, distract you from Vince Neil. I mean, there's explosions. There's the dancing girls, which is the return of the Nasty Habits. There is gigantic inflatable robots that come out on stage. There is pyro. There is everything that you could possibly have to make you think, oh, Vince Neil's not awful. But unfortunately, sometimes the mic doesn't lie. Let's go to the tape from Motley Crue on their big stadium tour. down in Miami. Okay, that's
all right. They have done. I mean, they have. Hey, copyrighted. They have done a lot since the Atlanta show in that they have turned the bass up, if I'm not mistaken, about 1,000 times.
Yeah,
they're burying his vocals as much as they can.
Well, you couldn't really hide that there.
No, but he goes, but. Boy, oh boy! There's no effect you can put on that to make it sound even remotely reasonable.
Now, Fred, I don't have the clip here, but maybe we can play it tomorrow. But I did get set something that at another one of their shows, because I think they've only played a handful of them so far. The guitar. So, if you're wondering, wow, everything sounds great, but Vince, maybe there's a reason for that, because at one point it sounds like there is definitely a music track. A pre-recorded music track, because the drums and the bass and guitar were off sync from each other.
Oh, really?
I don't know if anybody's doing anything live other than the drummer, which, by the way, is not Tommy Lee. Oh, he is for like a couple songs. It's this like studio guy. It sure sounds to me, if you listen to this clip that we can play tomorrow, that the guitar and everything is on a track and they got completely off track from the drums.
Well, that's no good.
No.
You got to practice.
It just sounds like just like press play, and then all of a sudden you're just like pantomiming. Then your lip, I mean, maybe they should have Vince lip sync if you like.
Well, how far long ago do you think you would have to go to find Vince with a usable live vocal track for him to mimic?
I mean, I would say
30 years?
Right when they broke up.
Yeah, 30 years.
I mean, I played with him, and he was awful. I mean, he was awful. Yeah, that was
played with him.
It was years ago.
The best I'll say it again is that he just came out with a bucket of beers and put it on his stool.
That's right. We did. He had plenty of it backstage. We were the beneficiaries of a lot of it.
Yeah, but just the idea of like he had like a Tommy Bahama shirt. Here he is, you know, Captain Rock and Roll, and he's just like a dude at a sports bar. He's got like a Tommy Bahama shirt, and he just takes the six. Excuse me.
It's that cat, Fred.
If he came out
bless you.
Thank you. If he came out with like a beer, I'd be like, whatever, or a bottle of Jack, I'd be like, oh no. But to come out with just six beers, like in like that like little silver bucket, and like,
yeah,
hey man, cool. Like, I guess
surprised you ever got a party ball. Remember those things?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, I guess you know that you paid to see me stand here, so. Let's do a little karaoke, Vince. He's all out of steam by the end of that.
Oh, yeah. That's a gentleman who is ready to rock. So by the time he gets here, he should be in prime shape. I can't wait.
Oh, boy. It's going to be everything you dream about.
There are only 15 songs in the set list.
Well, 15's a lot. I mean, 15's a full concert.
15? Okay.
Yeah.
So how many do you think he sings live?
Well, I mean,
does completely?
Well, I mean, it sounds like he sings all of them live, which is great for us.
Yes.
I mean, that's good. Now, most of them have backing vocals. Like, I mean, I remember when they did Dr. Feelgood, like, he's the one you call Dr. Feelgood. That's not him singing it. He sings He's Going to Be Your Frankenstein, and that's it during the entire chorus. So that's time for the hump. He literally gets, like, you know, maybe a good 20 seconds to breathe and take breaths, but then the best thing is, I
was a sign, now we go, man. All right, so Rich, we have the Stackarooski coming up. What are we going
to
talk about?
The Cleveland Browns continue to be really bad at things. One simple five-second test you can do right now may determine if you have less than 10 years to live.
Oh.
And what local star athlete thinks he is disrespected by the fans?
All right, we will find all that out for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I wish you guys were my professors in college.
Brad, who are we if we cannot judge people?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
We are Toucher and Rich. It is my understanding that the, at least where Dan is a very comfortable 84 degrees right now. So.
Yeah. Yeah, the studio's really hot.
John did a time and temperature. He's like 75 degrees outside. I'm like, it's 84 in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of any incentive that the station would have for us being there. But, I mean, if something breaks and no one's there, you don't have to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very strange. I don't see the money being spent to repair something that's going to get torn down in a couple of weeks.
Not when it's coming down.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't see that
really
happening.
You have to understand, they're tearing down our, to our understanding, they're tearing down our building.
Yeah, I think it's like wrecking ball fever. I believe this is something.
Making way for condos? Is that what's going on here?
I don't know. Something cool. Yeah. Probably a Lululemon or something like that.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, right.
Might be the case.
And then that's going to fix everything two blocks up from it.
See, but as I was saying, Dan's studio where Mike is and where Christina, our intern, is, that they got it the worst. Like, I mean, ours is bad. Theirs is sweltering. And I don't know if it's because our room's bigger. I don't understand the science of it, it is just...
Mark Bertrand, welcome to your 4 hours in the sauna.
Yep.
Yeah, and welcome to... I heard that. it wasn't my fault.
Good question.
I know, we've gotten used to it, I guess.
Seriously.
But
so my point remains, and I know it is that it's clouded by the fact that I would like to never go to Dorchester again in my life, but it does seem to me if you're just getting rid of everything out of a building, to have a building demolished, that it would make it easier for everyone, the less amount of people that were there. That just makes, and then from what I've heard from engineering, I'm right. So I don't understand.
You can accelerate the process is what you're trying to say.
Or make it easier on a lot of people is what I've heard. That's what Dennis said. I think you were there for one of them when he said it.
And less heat, two of them. Less people in a studio means less body heat, which would, I'm sure, benefit every one of us when it's 84 degrees in the studio.
No, but he can get rid of things like part and parcel. You understand what I'm saying? He doesn't have to like plan a day to get rid of everything. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I guess the difference is that there have to be fill-in shows. You know what I mean? Like, there's still people sitting in the seats.
No, but they would be in that temporary studio. So he could get rid of everything from the main studio at his leisure.
Yeah, yeah.
The temporary studio would be used by very few people, and it would be used almost exclusively on the weekends. And I don't know. It just sounds like a good idea to me. But what do I know about what do I know about anything?
Mm-hmm. I just wish that it was cooler in here. That's all I wish. I wish it was a little bit colder.
I heard in Waltham things were hot, so you never know.
Maybe that's the case. All right, so I don't know if you've seen this story, Fred, but if you had to guess which, I guess, major Boston athlete, current Boston athlete, felt he was disrespected by fans, who would you guess that is?
He's a current Boston athlete.
And he's a star. He's definitely a star.
He's currently playing on a team.
Currently playing on a New England sports team. And he's a star.
He's not a Bruin.
No, it's not a Bruin.
Mm-mm.
It is a Patriot.
It is not a Patriot.
It's a Marcus Red Sox Smart player.
What's that?
It's not Bogarts.
Nope, it's not Xander Bogarts.
JD Martinez.
It's not a Red
Sale?
Sox. It's not a Red Sox.
Oh, I thought you just said it's a Red Sox
no.
My ear.
I didn't. No, I think that Dan might have. I did not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mentioned the Revs. You got to include that.
Oh, the Revs. Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's Marcus Smart.
Nope.
Is it Devin McCourty?
It is Jaylen Brown. There was a tweet that somebody put out that said Jaylen Brown is so disrespected by Celtics fans, and it was liked by Jaylen Brown. And the meaning behind it is to be assumed that there has been discussion about the availability or potential availability of Kevin Durant this offseason with all of the news that have been surrounding him. The newest thing is that I guess that Durant's just been ghosting the Nets and not even talking to them during this whole
staying out of the whole Kyrie thing.
So this is all very mature. The ghosting, the reacting to Twitter, the huh. I mean, Jaylen Brown is the new star of Nancy, the comic strip.
So
I wonder if he had like a pint of ice cream after he read that.
I do believe that the legs on this grew when we had that clip of Scalabrine and even Chris Forsberg, who didn't immediately shoot it down. Talking about if Kevin Durant was to become disenfranchised and want to fire his way off of the Nets, one of the teams, if not the team that would be in the best position to be able to do something for Kevin Durant would be the Boston Celtics. And, of course, that would have to include Jaylen Brown in the package. And to that is the assumption as to why Jaylen Brown feels that he is being disrespected by the fans. Now, I will tell you this much. Every time you know, anything happens, even after the year that he had, everyone can't wait to ship Marcus Smart out of town, which I still find fascinating. The guy is, I mean, obviously, he's become a better player this year. I mean, you guys got to, I mean, the team got to game six of the finals. He's a defensive player of the year, yet everybody can't wait to trade him for lesser pieces. I hear some of the names that people are throwing out there. First of all, it's either Marcus Smart for Kevin Durant, where it's just something completely unreasonable, or it's just crap. Like, it's like, you know what? Let's see if we can get John Wall here. And you're like, oh, well, John Wall? When's the last time that guy played? And first, I mean, I don't even, the contract's insane. But the Jaylen Brown one is interesting because hasn't he done enough to earn the respect of Celtics fans?
Well, I mean, he was really disrespected by what you just told me. I mean, what a slap in the face from all the Celtics fans that Chris Forsberg said that if Durant was available, they might make a move. Is he insinuating he's better than Durant?
No, I think he's insinuating that he can't believe that there is a faction of Celtics fans who can't wait to jump on that, to get rid of him. And by the way, his name, until like the end of the season, has always been thrown out there in trade rumors. But to be honest, I was one of those people when we didn't think the two of them could play together. I always loved Jaylen Brown. But, I mean, we thought that the chemistry was bad. So
I don't know. Only, if only I could be disrespected like Jaylen Brown is. I'll take it every day of the week. If he thinks that's disrespect, be anybody else.
All right. Well, I mean, once again, the only reason that I think this is somewhat noteworthy is because he has a contract negotiation coming up in, what, a year? He's got a year left.
Two. I think he's got two
well,
left.
Well, a year until
then he can go to a fan base that no one ever questions any of the stars.
Fred, he's got Kanye West as his agent. Who knows what the hell is going to happen?
I don't know what the hell is going to happen, but he's a big baby. If he's upset about this, I guess we're making a big deal about liking a tweet.
Sure.
So we're the big babies too. But again, disrespect me like Jaylen Brown's disrespected. I would love it. I would love to be that disrespected.
Yeah. I don't like to hear that, though. As I said,
I would like to be disrespected, too.
Yes, but thank you, D.A., for chiming in.
Make me drink out of the commode.
That's disgusting, Jesus. D.A. I hope you're not
really?
Into that. That's a weird room you walked into. I don't like that.
No, it's not. It's the laboratory.
Who is talking to Warren Sapp? Because Warren Sapp was on a podcast, and he's been speaking about what he heard about Colin Kaepernick's audition and tryout for the Las Vegas Raiders.
I mean, do you see Kaepernick coming back? I mean, he tried out with the Raiders recently, but I heard the tryout wasn't all that great.
I heard it was a disaster. I heard it was one of the worst workouts ever. I'm wondering how the hell this happened and the tape didn't get out, right? I mean, somebody wasn't over the fence or nothing? Come on, man. We live in a world right now where you put a drone up. Hey, it ain't like they can stop you. They ain't gonna stop the workout talking about there's a drone up here. We don't know who this is. I mean, what? Come on, let's run this. They don't even send them up the ladder anymore. You know what we come out to practice. Send a guy up the thing. He's shooting practice off. Unbelievable.
All right, Warren Sapp.
Well, I mean, it's Antifa. Antifa is making sure it doesn't get out.
Honestly, Sapp finished his career with the Raiders, didn't he?
I don't remember.
I think he played the last 3 or 4 years of his career with the Raiders.
All I remember is that the Jets took Kyle Brady, tight end.
Yes.
Penn State ahead of him. If you're asking me how would he know anything, then I will return the question to you. How many podcasts are in existence?
And by the way, Kaepernick's agent came out and he goes, well, I guess Warren didn't talk to the general manager or head coach. I spoke to both several times. They thought Kaep was in great shape and threw the ball really well and encouraged any team to call him about the workout, and he would tell them the same. You don't even need to say anything, Warren Sapp. All you got to say is he's not on a team. Like, he's worked out for several teams over the last couple of years. He's not on a team.
But at least Warren Sapp is getting himself on some podcasts.
I guess.
As opposed to being on national television. At least now he gets to be a guest on some podcasts.
Yep, there you go. Well, good Warren Sapp. Remember when him and, who was the, Chris Carter, you got to have a fall guy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you're going to commit a crime, you got to have a fall guy.
Someone I sometimes reflect on that message and just think of how dangerous that is. And that the NFL, that was part of their curriculum. Like, right, you're gonna break some major laws. I mean, you are only human. So really have a fall guy. Like, it wasn't like, like, hey, if you smoke weed, you know, whatever, like, you know, back when it was illegal and everything, it was like, you know, when you commit like a pretty major crime, you're gonna want a fall guy. Like, all right, maybe you don't commit the major crime. It's something that you can't live without doing that would make you a sociopath, sir.
Do you want something that's going to probably stick in your head? There is a brand new report that has come out from the British Journal of Sports Medicine that included more than 1,700 participants. Now, this is between the ages of 51 and 75 years old, okay? So take that into account.
John's in that sweet spot.
Yeah. There he is. Yes. But they determined that people who can't stand on one leg are twice as likely to die within a decade.
That makes complete sense.
So it said, and matter of fact, 1 in 3 older adults, the ones at the age, just said, couldn't pass the balance test.
I'll tell you why it makes complete sense. Is A, how many people around that age do you think die in a fall? B, your equilibrium is probably has something to do with your neurological function.
Yeah, sure.
This doesn't sound like complete hogwash to me. Because the only time one of my parents almost died is when my dad fell. And I told you, like, blood started coming out everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they're like, they told my mom, like, your husband almost died. Now, the thing they used to fix it, and you'll laugh when you hear what the cause of it was, but they fixed it in like 10 seconds. It was no big deal. Like, but he did almost die, but to fix it was no big deal. It was because he had been taking Anacin.
Oh,
every day for like 30 years.
Oh,
they still make Anacin.
Do they really?
Yeah, apparently.
Heard of it. Oh,
and
my God.
They're like, you know, you got to stop taking Anacin. I'm like, oh, how can you get him to get off Lady Anacin? He's riding the white.
I haven't seen that in any CVS or any
it's probably only like where it's all old people.
Yeah, but, oh my God.
Yeah, he took 30 years of Anacin, finally put a hole in his stomach.
Oh, no, that's not good.
No, and what happens is that when, I forget what it's called, it's like a certain kind of ulcer. When it explodes, your body just starts, what's that term called, where you become, I forget it. But your body fills with blood, so blood was coming out of his mouth and his nose and everything.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Well, that's gross.
Yeah, cool. Anyway. So anyway, that's the thing. Well, listen, I'm 4 years away from having to worry about standing on one leg.
Yeah, so
I'll take a couple yoga classes when I'm 50. and get it out of the way.
Hop around while you can. Well, John did the first part of, I think, most people's pilgrimage at this age, and that is he saw Top Gun in front of his kids. He showed them the original, and now he's going to be going to go see the brand new one at the theater. It's funny. I John's kids had the exact same reaction mine did and a bunch of other friends did. They tolerated it. They thought it was fine. But almost all the people I know who brought their kids afterwards to the new one all loved the new Top Gun. It's okay. It's one of those, it's just, it's impossible not to have
it. It's the theater.
Well, yeah, and maybe it is the theater
and
as
I
well.
Think maybe to kids now, the theater is a little bit of a novelty.
Well, you want to talk about a novelty. If you look at the box office from this week, first of all, Elvis tied for first place with $30.5 million. And returning to number one tied with Elvis is Top Gun Maverick. After spending a couple weeks out of the number one spot, Jurassic World Dominion falls to number three. I know a bunch of people saw it, said it wasn't very good at all. The Black Phone goes to 23.3, debuted with that, and Lightyear was 17.6. What's weird, though, is if you look below that, you've got Doctor Strange with 1.7, and yes. Then a movie called Jug Jug Geo for $604,000. I had to look it up. It looks like one from a movie from India. It's like about a rock star or something like that. But, I mean, it only takes $604,000 to be sixth place at the box office right now. So, I mean, it's like everyone seeing the two or three huge movies and nothing else.
Mm-hmm. And that is great for movies. That is great for the history of film.
It is a shame. I mean, everyone's kind of getting back and doing their thing, but it is good to see that Top Gun, I think, passed $1 billion. It is the highest grossing film of Tom Cruise's career, and you know he's got like a massive cut. Like it's like the biggest percentage of profit of any movie he's done. Yeah, it's only been 4 weeks, too, so he's going to continue to make more and more and more money, so congratulations to him.
And give it all to Scientology, who do nothing but good. Elvis, you know Johnny was a hero to most, but he never meant you know what to me. The sucker was straight up simple and plain.
That's right. Which rap song
Mother
is that?
FM and John Wayne.
That's Public Enemy. I know that.
Okay. You know what he also says in that
Fight
song?
Fight the power. Thank you. I got it.
You know what he says in Welcome to the Terror Dome? He attacks your people. It says crucifixion ain't no fiction.
Right.
So-called chosen
hold
frozen.
Hold on, Fred. We have an illegal movement from Scott Zolak who has come in and put the climber one notch higher. On the cliffhanger. That's not right, Scott. You don't move that up. He's working today. But I don't get
I got no idea what the future holds.
That's not right.
Do whatever you want with the climber. It's, listen, man, I can only control what I can control. I got enough going on in the old personal life.
Yes.
He can do whatever the hell he wants with the climber.
Okay.
All right. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. You're in tomorrow, Rich?
Yes, I'll be here tomorrow. Right.
That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.